time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy who's turning into his father.
Mr. Guy who's turning into his father.
When you were a kid, you swore you'd never turn out like your old man. But now that you have kids, it turns out you swear just like your old man.
You lousy kids, clean up this.
Sure, you want your kids to think you're hip and happening, but still find yourself screaming, turn down that awful jungle music for crying out loud.
And you don't care how you dress.
You've had that members-only jacket for 25 years.
Even the Goodwill doesn't want it.
So the next time you find yourself saying, back in the good old days, or this must be the new man, look in the mirror, ignore your nose hair, and say hello to Mr. Guy who's turning into his father, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy is turning into his father.
Come here, boy. Pull my finger.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, February 21st. President's Day or not, we're here. Yeah, most of you probably are not working, but we are. We're here to entertain you every day of the year. So we hope you appreciate that.
Except for the days that we wake up late, or we go to San Diego, or...
That doesn't happen very often.
Or I have to work another job. Uh-huh. That stuff does happen sometimes.
It does happen, but we're here for the most part, and
so basically, just be grateful for what you get.
Exactly.
Don't say we never give you anything.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we lasted a year. We can't promise anymore, so
I mean,
just
who
stick
knows?
Around.
Sam's getting up there. Just playing, Sam.
Yeah, Sam's getting old.
I just like to do that, Sam.
Yeah, gonna have to retire soon.
Go like this. You've got a drop of water on your nose.
I do, huh?
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah,
it was staring
probably
out.
From the coffee.
Yeah, it's gone
Thank
now.
Thank you for letting me know. I know, it's like irritating when you have to look at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like all the time. Good thing it's not boogers. That would be embarrassing.
You know, I was thinking about boogers the other day. Even just the word.
You were?
It stresses me out. But I was thinking about, do you notice when you're talking to someone and then you automatically see like a little wall hanger, or just a little creeper that comes out of their nose, and you're talking to them and it's like there, automatically I feel like they're gross.
Yeah.
Even though we all get it.
Right.
But you see it and you just automatically feel like they're a dirty person.
And that's all you can focus on too, right?
You just feel like they're a dirty person.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I know. That's why you got to look in
but
the mirror
not,
every
they're
once
not.
In a while.
I mean, I've just seen a couple guys at work when I'm talking to them. They look clean cut. They've got their fresh starch shirt on. They're talking. And then I see like a little popping out. And it just makes me feel like you're dirty.
Yeah.
But even though like
and in a woman, it's even grosser, I think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is the grossest. But we've all had somebody say, hey, you've got something in your nose. And you're like, what the? Ha! I got something in my nose! Ha!
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
But
gross.
Boogers are good for you, you know? I mean, they help the nose.
So gross.
They help the nose.
Well, I mean, so are spiders to have in your house because it's eating the other bugs, but you don't want to see spiders, you know?
Yeah, that's
the same thing.
Yeah. You don't like spiders?
Come on, Sam.
What is it with women and spiders? I don't like them either, you know, but I don't start screaming when I see one.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, maybe there just needs to come a time when... Oh, my gosh, my computer's doing it again. It's irritating me.
I'll leave it alone. Well, so much for your PC laptop, huh?
Gosh, you guys. I mean...
You need an Apple? Is that what you need?
I mean, I don't know why it's doing the crash thing, but whatever. It's like, what's the point?
It's probably you got something. Look, after the show, I will take out some things that start in the beginning automatically that you probably don't need.
Oh,
and
really?
Often these things will make the computer freeze and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like certain apps will come up that...
Yeah, it loads like a lot of shit in the background that you don't need.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that could be it. There's got to be something there. Maybe there's a conflict or something.
Yeah, you got to be good for something. You better use those...
There you go. You see, I'm useful for something.
You better use those computer skills freaking on me. You better, you know, hook it up. Don't make me go pay like...
I'll hook it up.
Instead of, I don't want to have to go pay to have somebody tinker with this damn
thing. No, we wouldn't have you pay for it.
No, not going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen. I'll just show up again on time. How's that work? That's what you get. That's your payment.
Did you get it brand new or was it someone
else's? No, it's brand new.
It is brand new?
It's brand freaking new.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you better clean it up a little bit. Your screen is so dusty and dirty.
Well,
I don't know how people can use computers like that. I have to wipe mine with this cleaner every day.
Okay.
To enjoy it.
Well,
but then it feels like new, you know?
Well, do you have another one around, or can I use some Windex or something?
Windex is not good on that. Be careful.
I'm not about to. I'm just saying, whatever you're using, can you hook it up? So what did you do this weekend? Anything fun?
What did I do this weekend? Let me try and think now. Well, we went to a nice breakfast yesterday.
Oh,
it was a beautiful day.
It was very pretty. I worked.
Yeah. We went up in Studio City there. There's a couple of... There's a nice area there. I don't know if you've been there or not. You know where Vitello's is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. On Tujunga.
Yeah. Right there across the street, there's Aroma Cafe.
Aroma, yeah.
Yeah, so we always go to Aroma, but there's always a huge line there.
There is, yeah.
So as we arrived, we saw there's another neat restaurant right next door. So we sat outside. We had breakfast. It was excellent. It was really nice.
That's cool.
I know. It's a nice area. It's like a little different. You're not used to seeing that.
It's a little more cottagey kind of feeling. It's like Toluca Lake area.
Yeah, like a small street.
Yeah. For those of you guys who don't know, Toluca Lake and the Valley it's very cottagey cute. Like L.A. is just pockets upon pockets upon pockets of these little towns or cities.
Right.
They call them whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got Studio City and then you've got Sherman Oaks, you have Toluca Lake and you have all these clusters of, but they're right. I mean, they're literally like, what, a 5 mile radius? They're tiny, right?
You mean each one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like tiny. So it's really just a conglomerate of a few streets and then you're into another part.
Right.
But they can be very different.
Right.
So
it depends who lives there and the kind of population.
Studio City is a little bit more, I guess, nicer.
It's upscale.
A little more upscale.
Yeah.
And then Sherman Oaks way more residential, but it's nice too.
Yeah,
and then
Sherman Oaks is upscale too.
And then you've got Toluca Lake, and Toluca Lake has I think a little more of a cottagey feel.
You know, it's like not really part of the valley though. It's like outside the valley.
Really?
Yeah.
It's in the valley?
No.
It's close. What do you mean? It's in the valley. It's not in Hollywood.
No, it's not in Hollywood, but I think it's like between the valley and Pasadena.
And Burbank.
I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't know what the
hell. You've been there.
Yeah.
You've driven past
Toluca Lake?
Yeah, it's really cute.
Maybe I have. I don't know. It's so small, you pass right by.
Yeah, but it's cute. It's cute. Mm. But, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a girl the other day, and we were just talking about, she goes, I used to live in Studio City. She's like, but it's so boring. So she moved over to the Hollywood.
The Hollywood, because the valley is boring, you know.
But it's, you know, like, what? It's all within context. Because listen to this: if you came from where I lived or where this girl's from in the Midwest, Studio City is a happening place compared to where we're from. But when you live in Studio City and on the other side of the hill is Hollywood, West Hollywood, then you've got Santa Monica, and then you've got Silver Lake, you've got Echo Park, you've got all these cool places, and you're in Studio City, you're like, it just feels like it's the slowest
very
place.
Very sleepy.
But it's not compared to.
Yeah.
Parts of the
country.
It's all
relative.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know that the Valley was really founded by the movie industry and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that they were like running out of space in Hollywood and then they started building up here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing like what it used to be anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you have Tarzana here, which is where the author of Tarzan lived. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Edgar Rice Burroughs, I think, is his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they named Tarzana after his character.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, that's part of the valley, too.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, the valley's pretty big and stuff. But
it's
there's
huge.
Not much happening here, you know.
Well, when I first moved to L.A., I was so excited. Obviously, all you see is stuff in the movies. You're like, this is going to be amazing. And I end up living in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
And then I end up working in...
Van Nuys sucks, man.
Oh, my gosh. And then I end up working in Sherman Oaks. So I would wake up at 3:30 in the morning, go to work, be at work by 4, 4:15, something like that.
Wow.
Starbucks. And then I'd work till like 12.
Yeah.
And then I would sleep till about 4 or 5 when I came home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd wake up for dinner. And then I go back to bed. And this happened for about 4 months. And it was the most depressing.
Yeah, what
it
a
wasn't
life.
Depressing. It was just, I didn't have any friends. I was on my own. I'd always go to like Barnes and Nobles and just read books by myself.
Right.
And I read a bunch of free books because I wasn't going to buy any. And,
have you heard of libraries?
Yeah, well, Barnes & Noble is comfy cozy. So
yeah.
We'd go to Barnes & Noble, just sit down, read books. And I just did this. I'd eat at El Pollo Loco for dinner. And, you know, it starts to get to you after a while. And all I would see, all I saw was Van Nuys and drive to Sherman Oaks. And it's very just apartment buildings and a few homes and some strip malls. But it's just congested, and it's it's everything's on top of each other, and it's not pretty.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. So I kept thinking, like, this place sucks. Why do people move to L.A.?
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't get out. I never went hiking. I was never in Hollywood.
How did you end up in Van Nuys, though?
The Price is Right. You see the game show? Well, let me tell you, Van Nuys, The Price is Right.
The Price is Right.
I moved out here with two people I didn't know very well, and we were all going to get an apartment. The first place we went to, it was a two-bedroom. I was going to share a room with a girl. My guy friend was going to get his own room. And we're like, oh, this will work. And then they told us how much we needed to move in. And we're like, you're kidding, right? You need your first month, last month, and then a deposit.
Uh-huh.
That was like $4,000, like close to $4,000.
Yeah,
between
crazy.
Between the three of us, we're like, hell no. So we found this place in Van Nuys where it was a studio.
Wow. Three people in the studio?
We shared a studio apartment.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
We just had our three air mattresses lined up.
Wow. Well, you've paid your dues. You know, I mean, you're due for a discovery there.
Oh, yeah. And then one of the girl that we were living with, and, you know, I'm sure she's totally cool now, but it was very tense, and we were under a lot of stress, and we were like, how do we need to get jobs, and we're all trying to work and make money, and we're all living on top of each other. We don't know each other that well, personality clashes, and she just went a little ape shit on us.
Really?
And I mean, I wasn't the maturest about it either, because I was like 20 years old. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but
yeah.
She like came home and was so pissed at us, and she deflated our air mattresses. She's like, that was my air in the air mattress that you used from my air pump, and I want it back. So she just pushed.
That's what she said?
That's what she told,
really?
My other roommate.
She wants the air back.
Like, she was just so pissed.
Wow.
We came home and was like, so she deflated the air mattress. And just crazy. Like, she pushed me, got in my face and stuff.
Wow.
And it was.
Is this a chick that moved with you from Texas?
Yeah, and I was like, shit, should have done a background check.
Yeah.
No, she was a really cool girl. I mean, I'm sure she's in a different place now, as I am, and so is the other guy moved back right away.
Mm.
So we were going through a really rough time, and we couldn't live with her, and she was, like, very intimidating and scary.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to get rid of her, or we were going to move out. And so we talked to her about, like, look, this just isn't going to work. We all need to either separate, or you need to be out in 30 days. And she just was like, I'm not leaving until December, which was like 3 months away. We're like, this isn't going to happen for 3 months. So she refused to leave. So then we went to this place in Van Nuys that gave free legal counsel and forms to fill out. So we filled out, and we got copies of an eviction notice.
Right.
And we put it on we had to serve her with this eviction notice and stuff.
Right.
And, we went to her workplace and served her with it. It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
And
but it's not easy to evict someone, you know?
It's not, but it's enough to intimidate somebody to just leave. Like, she wasn't on the lease.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be on the lease or anything. So it was kind of like,
get the hell out.
Yeah.
So how was your weekend?
I work,
right.
So it was good. But I went to Tracy McDonald's show on Saturday night at the Ice House. She totally killed.
Yeah.
She did a great job. The Ice House is a great comedy club. I mean,
yeah,
it's out, so out of the way. It's in Pasadena. It's not in, like, the heart of Hollywood where everything is. It's just, but they get the best audiences because it's like real people.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is sometimes the comedy clubs in LA, it's such a showcase that it's a lot of comics, and there's just more comics, and there's industry, and there's some people that come out to see comedy, and then there's people that bring their friends, and it's just not your basic people that are like, hey, I want to go laugh, let's see who's playing tonight, let's go get some tickets, let's go spend some money, let's go out and laugh. You know, it's usually a stiffer audience.
Mm.
The Ice House was mainly Latinos again.
Really?
And they are just the best audience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Fun, happy, ready to laugh, the best. I love them.
Yeah. What a generalization.
Well, you know what? It's based on some reality. So it's like, even the guys I work with at work, like the busboys and the runners and everything, anytime they'll be working, prepping for the day, and they'll have on their music, like, you know, kind of like, you know, either Tejano or some, you know, some of their, like,
I've heard their music.
Yeah, but they are, like, working their ass off, and they take time to dance.
Really?
And they'll, like, dance with you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're just cool people. They want to party. They want to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You know, maybe you should date one.
You know what? Enough of them like me. I probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Have, like, our kids will be, you know, 4 feet tall.
Why?
No, I'm just saying. A lot of the guys I work with are really shorter than
sure.
me. Yeah.
Shorter than you,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, really small. And not that all Latinos are, but I'm saying the group of guys that I work with, a lot of them are from the same city in Mexico, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are related. So.
Right.
But they're the coolest people. Wow. They work really hard. They get the best attitudes.
Yeah.
That says a lot about a person, doesn't it? When somebody's outworking you
mm-hmm.
and they're busting their ass harder than you and they've got a better attitude than you.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say something about
well,
someone?
Well, it all depends. You know, it's all relative. I mean,
yeah.
look, they come from places where there's no work, there's no money, and they're only grateful to be here.
But it's a perspective too, right? It's
yeah.
like it's really a choice too when you're put in a position where you kind of look at it from one side of things. And I'm not saying that they love every minute of it. I can't speak for them on that level. I'm just saying from a casual observer,
mm-hmm.
they're like smiling, laughing, joking around, and just they love to chat. I mean, it's just like
yeah.
the best.
Well, that's good that you enjoy their company, you know?
Yeah, everybody thinks they're so cool because they just work so hard, you know?
Mm.
But it does say something when somebody's just like, you know,
yeah.
they're busting their balls.
Well, yeah, what can I tell you?
What can you tell
yeah,
me?
Yeah.
So on my way home yesterday, I walked home half the way, and I stopped by this boutique. This boutique has been having the best sales. They have been having, like, they're getting a new inventory, so they're getting rid of a bunch of clothes. So they're, like, I bought a dress there a few weeks ago for $10.
Really?
And it's cute. It's like a Marilyn
yeah.
Monroe dress. It's
really?
It's a stunner. Oh, my gosh. It's a stunner.
Really?
It's all
wow.
white.
Uh-huh.
It's all white, plunging neckline, but then it flows out, and it's kind of long.
Mm.
Like, would you be proud of me? It's, you know, like the middle of my calf, so it's really pretty.
Mm.
And so I have that, but I went back to look at the clothes, and I found this dress that is just it's just ridiculously hot. This dress is so hot. It's blue and green and kind of looks a little bit snakeskinny, like
mm-hmm.
the snakeskin kind of mm-hmm. pattern. Blue and green, and it's got kind of these long sleeves that ruched, so it's just all this gathering on the sleeves. And then it's like kind of short, but then it gathers on the sides. It's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you guys don't care. My point is this thing is tight. And
tight in what way? On your body?
Yeah, it's
okay.
not like it doesn't fit. It's just it's figure.
It's, tight,
it's
right.
just a. It's like a going out dress. You don't wear it to a picnic, is what I'm saying. Although
okay.
I probably would, and then get kicked out. But no, I'm just playing. But it's just a fitted tight dress, and it's really
okay.
cute in the right context. Like if you were going to like a real fun party at night or something, it would be. It's like a party dress.
Right.
So I put it on, and I am about to start my period, so I'm a little bloated. Which is okay.
Yeah.
It's natural.
We have to preface the discussion with that.
And I put my high heels on. I was like, okay, looking at it. And I was like, I like what I look at, but I'm a little bit, it's a little bit too revealing in some spots. I got a little too much junk in some of my trunks. So then I come out to the front and I'm looking at it. And there's a girl working there. And I said, so tell me, what do you think? What do you think? I'm like, she's looking. And then I took it off and I was like, I don't think I should get it. I don't know if my body's quite ready to wear this dress.
Mm-hmm.
And, I said, so do you think it's too much? Am I trying to be too hot, hotter than I am? Do I look like a fat girl? And she goes, don't say that.
Yeah, she wouldn't.
She's like, don't
that.
Say that to yourself. I'm like, no, you don't get it. It's not that I think I'm fat. It's just I suffer from high self-esteem.
Really?
I think I'm a lot hotter than I am sometimes, which I actually think is a more fun way to live. It's actually funner because you just got to go for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm getting it. I'll just figure it out later. So I got the dress and I can't wait to wear it. It is. I look like a bit like a stuffed sausage, but I do look hot in it, though.
Really?
I look like a hot stuffed sausage.
So did
yeah,
you get it?
I did get it.
Oh,
it was only $20. It was like a
yeah.
super really nice dress.
But why would you want to look like a sausage?
No, I think I look good. It's just a real, it's kind of a statement dress. You know what I mean? It's like a really cute dress that, you know.
Right. And what statement would you be making?
I don't know. It's just a very fun party cute dress. And definitely like whether or not, you know, and my roommates will borrow it from me.
Mm.
Bitches. Anyway. Anyway, it's
well,
funny.
Good for you. So you get some new clothes and you're happy
it's
with
really
that.
Cute, guys.
Yeah.
We should all go out and wear my dress.
Yeah. You see, I mean, we went out. I mean, we were going around having coffee, blah, 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 doing some shopping. And, you know, we went to a couple of clothing stores, and I just have no patience for it at all.
No, you're a dude.
I have to be, like, in the mood. Sometimes I'll be in the mood, and we go into a store, and then I start finding shit. But the problem is for men, there's, you know, in the summer, there's nothing to wear. You know, it's just the T-shirts and the jeans. And, you know, because winter clothes, I mean, there's so much more to wear, you know, with wool and leather and things like that and scarves and, you know, and all kinds of interesting clothes.
Like layers and
for
stuff.
The summer, yeah, for the summer, there's nothing. You know, there's nothing.
Wah, wah.
No, but it's true. I mean, you know, T-shirts, blouses, you know, they all look the same to me.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
Yeah. So
that's why they say L.A. fashion's not as, it's more rock and roll, but it's not as fashion forward because so much of the time we're wearing less clothing.
Right, and it's
because
casual.
Because of the weather.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
Like in colder places like New York or maybe places have more of a winter, their fashion is, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah, they have winter coats, you know, they have scarves and stuff, so it gives you a nice look, you know?
Yeah, whereas here it's like, you know, bikini. Mm-hmm. You're good. So just get your bikini ready, okay, Sam?
Okay, I will. I will. So, but what's interesting, I was reading an article in Time magazine.
Okay.
Okay. And the article talks about how computers are, or technology is advancing so fast that they're saying that by the year 2045, the intelligence of computers is going to match the level of all human beings combined. That's the level of intelligence that computers are going to have. And it's going to change how humanity is. It's going to change humanity. You know, it's not going to happen like one day, but that's the direction it's going
in. Can you clarify what you mean by change humanity?
Yeah, that life is not going to be the same.
In what way?
In the way that machines are going to be probably more even integrated into our lives than they are now. I mean, just think of the development of like a few years ago. You know, who would have believed that there'd be a website that, you know, like gets all the people in the world together and, you know, they can exchange ideas and so forth and find friends and all that. You know, think about 15 years ago before the internet, before any of this shit. And, you know, and how the world has changed today. You know, I mean, the smartphones, you know, and everything we have in our lives has just evolved so much quicker than it used to.
Yeah.
And everything is accelerating exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're saying, I mean, just imagine, let's say that the advancement is not faster than it is now. Mm-hmm. But even if it is, if it stays the way it is now, think about 35 years from now. Where are we going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's kind of scary because you don't know how things are going to develop. But, you know, so we start thinking of these science fiction movies and all that, you know. But
I'm going to relate this to something you're completely not going to like, but I'm going to do it anyway because I see a correlation.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, which is what your Jewish faith believes in, is the Tower of Babel.
Right.
You're familiar with it?
Of course.
So, you know, basically the concept is that man was united. There was no division among culture or language.
Right.
And that they were building and building and building and building and building and building. And they're building, this huge, what we'd call a skyscraper or whatever.
Right.
And God said, let us go down and confuse their language because at this, basically, I'm butchering it, but basically at this rate at what man is going, they're going to destroy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so God, from that.
I don't think it was because of that, because they were trying to reach God and they were trying to be like God.
Yes,
think,
but there's also something in the scripture that says about the evil that will come. Basically, the rate at which they're operating as a unit, unified, the evil that they will produce, and basically it's self-destructive.
Right.
It'll destroy each other.
But this is taking the view that it is a negative thing.
No, well, what you said yourself, you said it's a bit scary. It's not that it's bad.
Well, it's scary because it's unknown.
Well, it's not, you know? It's not that it's bad altogether, right? But that, you know, think about globalization and technology and how much there has become erosions in the barriers that used to be there, which isn't necessarily bad, right? Because of, you know, you've got trade, you've got different markets, you have connections with people, news travels faster. But it's also, think about the power that comes with that and in the hands of the wrong men, or the direction that it could go. And it's kind of like the train's left the station. We're not going to fix it. It's, you know, it's going to happen.
That's
anyway.
What I'm saying. It's inevitable.
You yeah,
know?
It
it's
is.
Not
absolutely.
A question about that. So, you know, I mean, so far progress has not been a bad thing, you know, and it all depends on how it's used. But the thing is, it's inevitable. You're not going to be able to stop it because...
No, I agree with you. You're
know,
not.
Even if they make laws and everything, then all this technology is going to go underground.
But think about it, too. What I'm saying is, and I'm not saying shrink back from progression, but because it's... We can't. But, you know, I'm just looking at the state of man, because it all goes back to basically, I'm sorry, like you said, humanity and the heart of man and how they use it. It's the use of it, right? Same thing with medicine or technology. It's the use of it. But look at it now. I mean, back in the day, they had like a rock they'd throw at you or they'd spear you. And then we got into guns, knives. And then we got into guns. And now we have bombs. And now we go into nuclear warfare, which can kill off the whole planet. You know what I mean? It's like it's like quicker.
Right.
And it's basically destruction of ourselves. It's like imploding.
Yeah, well, again, that's a point of view that's...
it's a fact. Look at the progression of warfare. You
right.
know what I mean?
Okay.
The devastation that can happen now...
Yeah, but that can also help.
Yeah, I'm not
wars.
Saying...
You know,
well,
I mean,
I'm
we
not
we haven't
saying,
had any major wars,
but
really.
But think about it. I know we haven't, but think about it. The casualty that can happen now is extremely greater than before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's
true.
That,
that
is
goes
scary.
With the territory, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I'm reading a book whose author we're going to feature, and he writes about this guy named Aubrey de Grey. And I happen to have met this guy. I don't know if you remember, I told you I met the guy from Men at Work. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, okay. It was that night. We were invited... Dina and I were invited to sort of like a gathering in Westwood.
Okay.
And we went there, and there was a group of people, very nice people. And the guy, the main guy there, had like a huge beard. You know, like, I mean, down to his crotch. You know, a red, bushy beard. And he's a British guy. Yeah, so it's hard to take him seriously, right? But then quickly we realized this guy's a genius. He's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
So I didn't know as much about him, but... He's into this movement that we can address aging and defeat death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he started this whole organization stuff. There's a whole book written about it. And then in the article I was reading yesterday, they mentioned him as well. So the thing is, what he says is that aging is like an illness. It's not like, it's an illness, you know, where the body starts deteriorating and there's problems and all this stuff. So he says, just like any other disease that we can treat, we should be able to treat aging as well. And just like with machines, we can replace parts that are no longer necessary or no longer work, you know. And, you know, it all sounds science fiction and everything, but the thing is that, you know, they're talking about this seriously. You know, there's serious scientists that are looking at this and thinking that, you know, we can extend life by a lot. Now, I'm not saying it's a great thing, but what I'm saying is that technology is evolving so fast that these things are totally possible, you know. And, you know, they're giving an example. Look at like a classic car from like 50 years ago or something. The reason it still looks good is because it was maintained. And, you know, parts were replaced and stuff like that. So it's obviously, you know, it has a lot to do with how we treat our bodies and all that. But at the same time, they're saying that eventually it'd be possible. Now, I don't know that you and I can sit here and say, no, it's not going to happen when we have so little information compared to what they're doing. You know?
Yeah.
So, but it does create controversy because the question of life and death, that's what religion is mainly for, is to answer these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates controversy. But I think it was really interesting. For those of you wanting to read it, it's last week's Time magazine. On the cover, it says 2045, which is the year they figure that we're going to reach what they call singularity, which is that a time where human civilization is not going to look the same anymore.
Well, I remember a few years back before I moved here, I was, I guess, about 9 years ago, I met a guy from Germany, and he was just talking about his traveling and living in the U.S. now, and I was, you know, I didn't do a lot of traveling. I was, you know, 19 years old.
Right.
But I was talking to him, and I'm just so excited to hear about the differences and the cultural and this and that and this. And he said, it's weird that it's becoming less and less different.
Mm.
He said, of course, there's still differences, but because of globalization, you see Coke machines, you see McDonald's, you see certain fashions that everybody's kind of bought. It's now becoming so, it's starting to water down. The differences are slowly eroding, you know?
Yeah.
And, good or bad, it's just interesting, like, where is it going?
Right.
You know, like, things that were so different, and there's cultures and just ancient and just those uniqueness is
right.
starting to become diluted. And I'm not saying, again, it's not an overnight thing, right? It's
right.
just that the train's left the station, and over time, like, just that, you said, what is it, singularity. I mean, you think about it, too. You've got the, you know, the Euro, and who was... There's other countries that are pushing to have their own
currency. No, but singularity means something else. It doesn't mean like
singular.
One thing.
Oh, what does
yeah,
it mean?
It doesn't mean, like I said, it's a point where human civilization actually changes from the way we know. So, like I said, it's going to be gradual. But 35 years from now, I'm curious to see where we're going to be. It's going to be a whole different place, you know?
Mm.
And plus, they're talking about, you know, consciousness. Being able to live outside the human body, you know, so we may not need this container in order for our consciousness to stay there. I don't know what that means, robots or whatever the fuck, but it's
like Avatar.
It's interesting, yeah. So I'm thinking, 35 years. I think I still have 35 years in me. I would be 85 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna live that long because I don't live healthy, at least not for now. But who knows? You never know.
I think it's fascinating. It's very interesting. And you, like you said, I mean, neither one of us are in the medical field or science, so it's not like just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't.
Right.
But I have to say, don't you think that there's a level of kind of a weird arrogance of trying to have immortality?
Well, I don't know if it's arrogant.
But like,
I don't know if it's arrogance. I think that.
I mean, I understand.
I think it's a question of wanting to conquer, wanting to discover new things, wanting to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every person's dream is to live forever.
I mean, yeah,
so
I definitely
know they're going to pursue that. Whether it's going to happen or not, I don't know. Whether it's ethical or not, I don't know. I haven't given it that thought.
I mean, would you want to live in this world forever?
Well, if other people did, then it might be a good thing. But no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, like you'd want to move on, right?
But that's because we only understand life in our terms. You know what I'm saying? Where the body starts deteriorating and body parts start being useless and that. But what if life was, what if you didn't age? What if you stayed like in your 30s the whole time or something, you know? I don't know. No, I wouldn't want to live forever. I don't think
it'd be
tiring. I'm already tired after
50 years. Even if we were all in the best shape and we didn't, let's say the body thing wasn't an issue, okay?
Right.
I think we have fairy tales for a reason, and we like movies for a reason, and the hero and the overcoming evil and the good guy wins and everything. I think that comes from a place that's deeper inside everyone because we do believe that there is a utopia somewhere that's beyond this. It's like, I wouldn't want to live forever in a state and in a world like this.
Right.
You know? I mean, we're all built, I believe personally, we're all built for a specific time and for a specific amount of time on Earth and in a time, and for a certain, you know, period of, like, we're in the 21st, right? 21st century?
Last time I checked.
Yeah, 21st century, and this is our world and we know it, and we're built for this. But I wouldn't want to live for centuries and it kind of starts to become, even though things take different forms and they evolve and they grow and you're probably fascinated with the change, there's some things that everything's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still power hungry, there's still pain, there's still suffering, there's still goodness, there's still laughter, there's still fun. But I think after a while you're like, the wonderment of it all. You're like, it's time to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I think so too. But again, you know, we're talking
in
terms of
what
we know.
Let's just drink some Kool-Aid and get over it. No, just playing. But I don't mean just
but
existing.
Who knows?
Like,
you know, I think once we get closer to it, then it might not seem as strange.
Well,
because it's an evolution, you know, it's not like, I mean, just imagine if the iPhone appeared like 20, 30 years ago out of nowhere, you know, it would be like really weird. Mm-hmm. But today it sort of evolved into it, you know. So
well,
today
of we know, course.
Yeah. But so that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's hard to really say. All I can tell you is that at 50, I already feel tired of being mm-hmm. alive. Not that I'm sick of it, but yeah. tired meaning that I've done a lot, you know. It's like, just leave me alone, let me enjoy life. I don't
it's funny
work anymore.
A friend of mine, he's a comedian, and he said to me, he's like, yeah, he works really hard, he's on the road all the time, and he said, I go to bed and I wake up. He said, they say life is short. He goes, but I think it's really fucking long. He's yeah. like, I just keep waking up. I keep just waking up. And I'm like, okay, we're doing this again. I think it's really sad and morbid, but it's kind of interesting. It's like, we're just, I think that our souls, I mean, you talk about the soul, and it is abstract, and we don't totally understand. But I think that that's intangible, and it's something that, like, ultimately, I know that this isn't it.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't it. I wouldn't want to live for centuries. Mm-hmm. Think about when you know those, all the vampire, you know, like Anne Rice and Lestat, and they live for centuries and they've seen so much, and it's like almost its own hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like it's almost its own hell.
Yeah. No, I believe that whatever intelligence force, God, knew our limitations, obviously, you know, did not, you know, give us a certain period of years to be alive, and that's it. You know, mm-hmm. and then realize maybe we can't handle more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's too much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but who knows, you know, who knows? It'll be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to the future to see what's going to happen, you know.
Did you see Minority Report?
Yeah.
Do you know, there's a scene where one of the guys who's like the genetic engineer who basically can keep people alive or whatever, mm-hmm. his wife is like, she's growing a garden. He's like, I can clone all this for you. I can make this. She's like, yeah. you're missing it. Like, growing is beautiful. And she basically died on him like 10 times, but he kept cloning her and bringing her back to life. And she's like, give it a rest.
Yeah.
I'm done. She's like, I don't want to live here anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
She's like, you're holding on to me and the idea of me, and I'm not even in this. I'm not here anymore. Like, let me go.
Yeah. But, I mean, are you okay with the idea that one day the world will go on without you? It's kind of like a tough thing to wrap your mind around, I think.
Well, I have a very different view of it. I think that time is a measurement, and I think that God and spirituality is outside of time. So you and I are having a conversation right now in the 21st century, and this is what we know. But because God is outside of time, everything's already done. It's already happened. We're just kind of walking backwards into the end result. And so I think when we pass on, you know, we die, but
so are you saying everything's been decided already?
Everything, well, I mean, we're living out choices and we're making decisions right as you and I know it right now. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, if you and I look at, like, I'm holding my hands up and making a circle, right? This is time. Mm-hmm. But everything outside of it is not time. Like, mm-hmm. the time is a measurement. So let's say we're on the grid right here and we're, you know, going horizontal and we're living out our life. But ultimately, if you step back and look at time, it's already happened. Even though you're making those decisions, like, you're outside of it, so you're not constricted by time, and you already know what's going to happen. Not because somebody's forcing you or making you do it, but they're not constricted by time. So I feel like everything in the world and the centuries to come, or who knows how long everything's going to happen, it's already happened, essentially, in the spiritual realm. So I think that when we die, we pass on to a different place, and it's better. There's freedom, and I think that there's a different... you know, we talk about consciousness and things like that. I just think that when we move on, you know, the Bible says to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. And ultimately, I believe, you know, being with God in his presence outweighs and outshines any exciting, beautiful, erotic, euphoric emotion that you can feel on this earth. I think it's way better, you know? So it doesn't really make me sad. I mean, it's interesting. I know what you mean, kind of like, what's going to happen here? But I think, you know, you're going to be moved on somewhere so much better that you're like, been there, done that.
I just love you religious nuts, man.
It's,
I mean,
not religious,
you've got,
nuts.
You guys have got all the stories figured out, you know?
I'm telling you what I believe.
No, that's true.
I'm not calling you nuts.
No. Well, I didn't mean to call you nuts. I just meant to say that you believe a certain thing, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just everybody, whether they know it or not, has something they believe.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's not God, their own thing, or they say they don't care. But at the end of the day, when shit hits the fan, like, you know, after 9/11 happened, mm-hmm. the churches were packed.
Right.
Even whether people believed it or not, they just wanted
to. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, that's
they're
the thing,
scared.
Is that people, you know, when people are in trouble, they look for God, you know, it's a natural thing.
Well, it's kind of a reminder of the fact that we're not immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Our life is fragile. You're
right.
Like, oh, shit, I could really die.
Right.
This can really happen. And you.
And that's why I think out of that fear, religion was born.
I know, you told me that. But also, yeah. it is a sobering check to kind of go, I could die. Does it matter? What do I care about? Is there anything out there? Do I care?
Right.
You know,
and
you ask.
We want to believe that we're not just going to be worm food, you know?
Yeah, everybody's got their own views. I'm just saying, you know, we're on the topic of, you know, are you going to miss this? How do you feel about life here for centuries? Things like that. And, you know, for me, what I believe biblically is that this just isn't our real home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like our real soul isn't here. Like, this isn't. I just believe that, and I feel it.
Why is that? Why do you believe that?
Well, I believe it based on scriptures in the Bible. I also believe it based on, I think there's a universal longing that we all have. Like, if you think about it, people have, like, you know, loneliness, right? It's
mm-hmm.
just this deep thing in everyone. It doesn't matter if you have tons of friends or what, but there's periods of time in your life where you're just lonely. There's
right.
like a depth.
Right.
There's like a depth, and it's like no one can fill it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and there's a longing and an aching in, I think, the human soul of just, we know that there's more. Why is it when we listen to these great songs, you know, you listen to a great song and it just moves you and
mm.
it just stirs your emotions and something about it can bring hope or bring some kind of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that stirs our soul because it represents a different place. It represents a truth that's bigger than us that we're just kind of tapping into.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of these yearnings and longings and the depth of the human soul and that how deep and it goes, I think it's because we're not fully satisfied in this life for a reason. You know, we're always searching. We're always trying to figure something out. We're always trying to, you know, even progressing. It's like we're always trying to grow or whatever. It's because we're not whole. We're not completely filled in this lifetime. I don't think we ever will be, you know. And it makes me feel like, would I want to go centuries in that kind of state?
Mm.
No.
So you think that's why progress is happening? Because we... Why?
Because, no, what do you think I'm saying? You're asking me questions.
Yeah, what you're saying is you're saying we don't feel as, like, a whole.
Well, so. I think it's a mix. I think there's definitely, I think the human soul is always yearning and aching and seeking. But I also think there's, you know, humans, we're workers. You know, we discover, we explore, I think that that's good. I think
mm-hmm.
we're pioneering, you know, I don't think it's bad, but I'm saying we're searching, we're seeking, but I think there's a side of it, not all of it, but I think there's a side of it that comes from a place of, you know, it's never going to be enough. We're never going to be filled in this life.
Yeah, well, maybe we're not meant to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we are meant to be in this lifetime.
So, you know, but I think the hunger that human beings have for knowledge, for this, is a good thing.
Oh, well, I don't think it's bad.
And that's part of our genetic
makeup. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Makeup,
but
you know?
I just think it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you do in this life. Not, I mean, it matters, but it's never going to be enough to fill us.
Mm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's always going to be this hunger by humans wanting to learn more,
uh-huh.
wanting to discover, wanting to be able to explain,
mm-hmm.
find meaning and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, and people find it in different ways. And religion is one of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, it remains to be seen. You know, I mean, I'm not taking a position on it because you don't know if it's going to be good or not. You know, it just is.
Well, yeah. I'm not really disagreeing with you on that. I mean, it's like I said, the train's left the station. I mean, I'm just going back to my beliefs because that's all I have and that's what I believe. But there's the scriptures really do talk about kind of in its own way what we're talking about right now,
right.
as far as the progression of man and then, you know, talking about the human soul and talking about basically even the earth and the earth's deterioration and then recreation. So. It's just, we're just talking about it in different terms. And I think, you know, you're right. It's completely its own thing. And, it, you know, we're not going to stop it.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like you said, it is, and I think that it comes with its own price.
Right.
Which, you know, we'll see, I guess. And what? How many? What's the year? 2045?
Yeah. So mark that down on your calendars, folks.
Another Y2K. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was just... Do you think people are really paranoid, or do you think it was more just like, hey, get your popcorn ready. We're so excited to see what happens.
Paranoia, I think, you know.
Yeah.
People really believe there'd be, you know. But then again, the same with 2012, you know. People think that the world's going to end or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, but why people believe that because of the Mayan calendar or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You haven't heard anything about it?
I've seen the 2012.
They had a movie 2012 and all that, and they figured because the Mayan calendar ends at 2012 that, you know, they knew something we don't.
Really?
I'm here to bet anything you want that nothing's going to happen in 2012. Nothing's going to happen anytime soon to this planet. So relax.
I'm not stressed.
No, not to you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people in general.
No, it is interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. So 2012.
Yeah.
Get your popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. Let's see what happens.
We watched the movie Salt. Have you seen the movie Salt?
Yes.
It's pretty good,
It's a good movie. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I want to see The Tourist as well. I think she did well in that one
as well. Oh, yeah. I've heard it wasn't that great, but I'll see it.
Really?
The Tourist, yeah.
Yeah.
She was skinny.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be a badass spy.
Right.
And when, I mean, and she's gorgeous and she's a phenomenal actress. I love her. Lay aside the tabloid stuff, even as an act, just acting, she's great.
Yeah.
She's so great. And she's built for these roles. But when she's running and she's doing all this stuff, all I keep seeing are like elbows and long skinny fingers and collarbone.
Really?
Like I kept thinking she's not even... She doesn't have enough muscle to lift that gun, is what I thought. You know, because she should have some... You think of, like, a badass spy. Like, they should be, you know, stealth, but built, like, you know, have some meat on them.
Right.
She looked cold. You know when you see somebody that's really skinny, and they... Mm-hmm. To me, they look cold.
Yeah, like they're freezing?
Yeah, like, I want to, like, hug them and stuff and give them some blankets. You know?
Yeah. But, I don't know, it was a pretty good movie.
She did a great job, and it was a fun movie.
Yeah, I like action.
Yeah.
And then finally, they say that oral sex can boost cancer risk.
What?
Yeah.
How come?
Because they're saying that oral sex carries many of the same risks as vaginal sex, including human papillomavirus or HPV.
Mm-hmm.
And HPV may now be overtaking tobacco as the leading cause of oral cancer in America and people under the age of 50.
Uh-huh.
They're saying that adolescents don't think oral sex is something to worry about. They view it as a way to have intimacy without having sex. But apparently, you know, maybe they mean that if you have, you know, some kind of a virus that would pass vaginally, it can pass orally as well.
Yeah.
You know. And
I told you the other day we had our friend over who specializes in this stuff, and she was just telling us about the million different risks that could happen, and we're holding our wine glasses, we're like shaking, we're all like, I'm not having sex ever again, never, because it's just, it is chilling to know, I mean, if you don't fully know your partner, or they don't know their own past, or let's say they don't really know if they're a carrier of something, you know what I mean, they may not have symptoms, they may not have a virus, but they can pass along shit,
right?
You know, like a rodent.
Yeah. It's just funny that some people, especially young people, think that oral sex is not sex, you know? I mean, what the hell, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't think of it.
You've got genitals out there, you've got,
I think of it, I mean, if I was in
fluids.
I don't think of it as intercourse. I mean, I don't think of...
No, but it is sex nevertheless.
So let's say if
sex is not just intercourse.
Well, I definitely think it's important, and I definitely think it's sexual.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not sexual or sexual relations. I'm just saying, like, if you're with a guy or with a girl, and you guys perform oral sex on each other, and you guys have been dating for, like, let's say a year, and somebody goes, "Have you had sex with them yet?"
Right.
Would you say yes?
Yes.
Oh, really? Because I think of intercourse.
I know, and a lot of people do, you know. But the thing is, think of sex of anything that you wouldn't do in public, let's say.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anything that is intimate.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that. You know?
I mean, I'm not saying it's not sexual, of course. I mean, but I'd always think of, like, somebody says, "Have you guys slept together?"
Right.
And you're like, "No, we've just been making out."
Right. That's different.
But you guys haven't.
But I think oral sex is definitely sex. Definitely. I mean, you're using your genitals, you're using your mouth, you're using, you know.
Yeah, no, it's intense.
Exchange of fluids and stuff.
I find it very intense. I find it like, it's like way more sometimes intense than the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, you know, how it goes.
You're face to face with each other.
All that stuff.
Anyway.
On that note.
And on that note, we're going to
wrap up. It's a classic show today, except for we didn't have a fight. We'll get that one tomorrow. We'll get the fight in there.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Kira, have a great day.
Okay, you too, Sam.
And we'll see you all tomorrow. Will do.
Okay, bye.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.